أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم صلاة وتسليما يليقان بمقام أمير الأنبياء وإمام المرسلين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولي الصالحين، وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وعظيمنا وحبيبنا محمدا رسول الله خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين. صل اللهم وسلم وبارك على هذا النبي الأمين وعلى آله وصحابته الغر الميامين، أما بعد. جماعة المسلمين، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه العزيز بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. صدق الله العظيم. جماعة المسلمين، so many weeks now and we are still under a form of lockdown. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make easy for each and every single one of us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and guide us wherever we might be. Ya Rabbil Alameen. This particular verse, Jamaat al-Muslimin, is in Surah Ali Imran, verse number 8. And this is a very, very powerful verse, a very, very important verse, a verse that applies to each and every single one of us. Doesn't matter how learned or how pious a person is, this is something that is a reality across the board. Just remember, after our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is the last and final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is nobody that is ma'soom. لَيْسَ هُنَاكَ أَحَدٌ مَعْصُومًا بَعْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. There is nobody after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the last and final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the seal of prophethood. What did he say? Ana al-labina wa ana khatim al-nabiyyin. He said, I am the brick, you know, the missing brick, that famous hadith. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he say? He said, mathali wa mathalu al-anbiya'i min qabli ka mathali rajulin bana baytan fa ahsanahu wa ajmalah. The likeness of me and the prophets who came before me is the likeness of a man who built a house. He built it well and he made it beautiful. Except for one missing brick in the corner of the house. And so he made the people go around the house. Being amazed by the house. يقولون, saying, they said, when is this brick going to be placed? Quite amazing, you know, they don't look at the rest of the house. No, this is the nature of man. We're always looking for the faults. We're always looking for that which is missing. We're always thinking about that which we don't have and not that which we have. But anyway, that's another topic for another time. Here, the metaphor is about the completion of the house of prophethood, Baytul Nubuwa. And so the metaphor that is being used here is the metaphor of a man who built a house, made it beautiful, and only one missing brick in a corner of the house. The people came and went around the house, being amazed by the house, and they said, when is this brick going to be placed? So the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the end of the metaphor, he said, فَأَنَا لَبِنَا, I am that brick. وَأَنَا خَاتُمُ النَّبِيِّينَ, and I am the seal of prophethood. No more prophets after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No more messengers after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, Muhammad is not the father of any of you men. But indeed, he is the messenger of Allah and he is the seal of the prophets. I mean, with prophethood comes one particular attribute. Well, we know that all prophets have got three essential attributes, and those prophets who are messengers, those prophets who are messengers as well. Why? Because kullu rasulin nabiyyun wa laysa kullu nabiyyin rasula. Why? Because every messenger is a prophet, but not every prophet is a messenger. And all prophets received revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but only those who were commanded to propagate that revelation, they are known as the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So prophets have got three essential qualities and messengers have got four. And so the messengers and the prophets, remember the messengers are also prophets, they of course share in those three attributes of all prophets. And then the messengers have got one extra attribute. What are the three attributes that they share? Is as-sidq, they always speak the truth. Al-amana or al-isma, they are infallible. They are infallible, they don't sin. And al-fatana, they have great wisdom and intelligence. And then the extra attribute that's been granted to the messengers is of course at-tabligh, the prophet propagation. وَعَدْمُ الْكِتْمَانِ, the opposite there of being, the absence of withholding any of the message that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded them to propagate. They always propagate that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded them to propagate, not withholding anything that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded them to give over to the people. So I want us to focus on this one attribute, the attribute of the isma, the attribute of infallibility. It stops with the anbiya wal mursaleen. It stops with the last prophet and messenger of Allah. In other words, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the last human being to have walked on this earth that was infallible sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everyone after him, salawatu rabbi salamu alayhi, which means all of us non-prophets, non-messengers, we are all fallible human beings. We are all fallible human beings. As the famous saying goes, it is human to err. That's for all of us. That's for each and every single non-prophet, non-messenger. We are all prone to err. We are all prone to make mistakes. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم كل ابن آدم خطاء وخير الخطائين التوابون. All of mankind make mistakes. And the best of those who make mistakes are those who repent and return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Jumaat al-Muslimin, today we are speaking about a verse in Surah Ali Imran that is for all of us fallible beings. Even though our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the last of the prophets and messengers of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the seal of prophethood, he even used to make this dua, even though he was infallible. He used to make this dua so much in his life. It's a dua in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us. And the context of this dua is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually speaking about al-muhkam wal-mutashabih. Al-muhkam wal-mutashabih. Actually, in fact, if we go back to verse number 7, which is the verse just before the verse we are speaking about, verse number 8, just to give it some context, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هو الذي أنزل عليك الكتاب منه آيات محكمات. It is he who has sent down to you, Muhammad, صلى الله عليه وسلم, the book, the Quran. منه, of it, آيات محكمات are those verses that are clear. هن أم الكتاب. They are the foundation, if you like, of the book. وأخر متشابهات. And others that are متشابهات, meaning ambiguous. So you have محكم, which are clear. Only one meaning can be derived therefrom. And متشابه, ambiguous. In fact, if I must give you a very simple and clear example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ikhlas, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Say he is Allah, the one and only. Allahu Akbar. This is muhkam. It cannot mean anything else except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. جَلَّ فِعُلَى. And this is the foundation of our entire faith. Tawheed, the indivisible divine unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas in Surah Az-Zukhruf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي فِي السَّمَاءِ إِلَهٌ وَفِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَهٌ. And he is in the heavens a God, and in the earth a God. Allahu Akbar. What is this? Does that mean there are two gods? A God in the heavens and a God in the earth? No! What it means is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the Allah of the heavens and the Allah of the earth. And who is Allah? Rabbul Alameen, the creator, cherisher, nourisher, sustainer, manager, controller, owner and ruler of everyone and everything in the heavens and on earth. Jalla fi'ala. Or for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-An'am, verse number 3, وَهُوَ اللَّهُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَفِي الْأَرْضِ. And he is Allah in the heavens and in the earth. Meaning Allah is physically in the heavens and physically on earth. مَعَاذَ اللَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we've said this many times, لَا يَحْوِيهِ مَكَانٍ وَلَا يُؤَثِرُ فِيهِ زَمَانٍ. Allah cannot be confined by space, nor is he affected by time. Why? Because he's the creator of all space and all time. لأنه تعالى كان ولا مكان وهو على ما كان قبل خلق المكان لم يتغير عن ما كان. علم ما كان وعلم ما يكون وعلم ما سيكون وعلم ما لا يكون ولو كان كيف كان يكون. لأنه تعالى كان. Because Allah was ولا مكان and no place. There was no place. Before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created heavens. كَانَ اللَّهُ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْءٌ غَيْرَهُ. As our beloved Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says in the hadith in Bukhari, that Allah was and there was nothing besides him. So لأنه تعالى كان. Allah was without place. And he is as he was before place was created. And he has not changed from that which he was. He knows that which was, he knows that which is, he knows that which will be, and he even knows that which will not be, and if it had to be, how it would be. جَلَّ فِي عُلَى. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, there are verses in the Quran that are muhkam. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Clear cut. And there are verses that are ambiguous. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, immediately thereafter, after saying that, he has revealed to you, O Muhammad, هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابُ وَأُخْرَ مُتَشَابِهَاتٌ. He is the one who has revealed to you, O Muhammad, the book, the Quran. Of it, there are verses that are clear cut. They are the foundation of the book, and the others are ambiguous. They are two potential meanings or more. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ. And as for those who have corruption in their hearts, they will follow that which is ambiguous of it. But I said ambiguous meaning that yes, two or more potential meanings, but doesn't mean two or more potential correct meanings. Yes, we do have in the realm of tafsir. In actual fact, the first qa'idah, the first rule we learn in tafsir is at-tafsiru bi-naqlin thabit aw bi-ra'in sa'ib fama siwahuma fabatil. That tafsir is either through authentic narration or through sound interpretation. Ra'yun, ra'yu literally means opinion, sound opinion or sound interpretation, which has to be based on, if you read in the book At-Tafsir wal-Mufassirun, very famous book on tafsir, that the author mentions at least 15 sciences that one needs to be a master of in order to be a mufassir, in order to arrive at correct opinion about the meaning of the Quran. And our beloved Prophet ﷺ warns when he says that من قال في القرآن برأيه أو بما لا يعلم فقد تبوع مقعده من النار. Whoever says anything about the Quran based on that which they do not know, following their whims and their fancies, based on that which they do not know, then they've prepared for themselves a seat at the fire. Another riwayah, من قال في القرآن برأيه فأصاب فقد أخطأ. Whoever says anything about the Quran just based on their whims and fancies, and by chance they are right, then they have erred. Why? Because they took a chance. They took a chance. You can't take a chance about the meaning of the Quran. This is Kalamullah. So the context of the ayah that we are speaking about today in Ali Imran can be found in verse number 7. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Quran, clear verses, muhkamat, ambiguous verses, mutashabihat. As for those who have corruption in their hearts, they follow that which is ambiguous. You know, in other words, they quote out of context and they take an incorrect meaning of what is being said. And why do they do it? Ibtigha al-fitna wa ibtigha al-ta'wili. They do it out of creating mischief, and they do it وَبَتِغَاءَ التَّأْوِيلِ, out of trying to manipulate the verse, you know, of course, to suit their whims and their fancies. I'll never forget, there was a person I met on my travels, I won't say where and I won't say who, but they were saying to me that in their opinion, consuming alcohol is not forbidden. It's not haram. It's not haram. And the reason for that, because in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَجْتَنِبُوا. He just says, stay away from it. He doesn't say, for example, as in the case of riba, in the case of the giving and taking of interest, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has very clear as the sun in the middle of the sky on a cloudless day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. وَأَحَلَّ, Allah has made buying and selling lawful and the giving and taking of interest. حَرَّمَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. Very clear. حَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. And He's made the giving and taking of interest unlawful. Whereas with regards to intoxicants, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, without any exception, al-khamr. Now, khamr doesn't mean wine. Khamr comes from the word khimar, with a kha, not a ha. Khimar with a ha is a donkey. Khimar with a kha is the veil, the complete veil covering that some women wear over their faces. And why intoxicants are called khamr? Because they do that to the aql. They veil the aql, especially the frontal lobe, the area of the brain where decision making takes place. That is veiled during the time of intoxication and inebriation. And the carnal brain takes over. And so therefore it is called khamr, the veiling of the aql. The aql as khabakl, if a person is intoxicated. So this person was literally looking for ambiguity in the prohibition to the degree where they wanted to say that it's actually not a prohibition. Innamal khamru, without any exception, intoxicants and gambling and slaughtering animals for other than Allah and fortune telling is from the filth of the handiwork of the devil. So stay away. Fajtanibu. The person says, see, it doesn't say haram. It doesn't say haram al khamr or haram al mays. It just said fajtanibu, stay away. And that's not prohibition. No, this is a person's, you know, seeking to cause mischief for themselves and for others by saying such a thing. Ijtinab is an actual fact, an even stronger command of prohibition than just saying harrama. Or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ja'alahu haraman. Fajatanibu. Stay completely away. In other words, don't even go near to that thing, let alone engaging in it. So this is, and even though in the reality of the situation, that verse which I've just quoted now is not ambiguous, but it's to this degree where people will look for loopholes or try and look for an alternative meaning, based on the Arabic language, but a meaning that goes completely against the context of the verse and the correct meaning according to the ulama, according to the scholars of Islam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask those who know if you don't know. You can't just interpret the Quran willy-nilly. Even find some people quoting the Quran, but they're actually not quoting the Quran. They're quoting the meaning of the Quran. In other words, a translation. Translation is not Quran. إِنَّ أَنزَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعَقِلُونَ. We've revealed it as an Arabic Quran that you might make sense of it. بِلِسَانٍ عَرَبِيٍ مُبِينٍ. With a clear Arabic tongue. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So the Quran is in Arabic. If you are reading a translation, and this is what some people do, they read the translation of the Quran, which is not the Quran, it is a translation of the meaning of the Quran. And then they want to nilly-willy, they want to extract rulings, and they want to make tafsir and do all sorts of other funny things. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. Which is extremely, extremely dangerous. So, verse number 7, which is here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who sent down the book to you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of it, there are clear verses, and they are the foundation of the book, and they are those which are ambiguous verses. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ. And as for those who have corruption in their hearts, they are looking for the alternative, incorrect meaning. ابتغاء الفتنة, creating mischief, وابتغاء التأويل, you know, seeking to twist the meaning. وما يعلم تأويله إلا الله. And nobody knows the true meaning or the true interpretation thereof except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. والراسخون في العلم. And here, I'm not going to go into the difference of opinion as for, you know, where some of the scholars, where they say you stop, where you can stop, or where you continue reading in terms of the meaning. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. And those that are firmly established in knowledge. You know, because وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلُهُ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. If we're also speaking about mutashabih, we're also speaking about certain attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Fasbir. Oh, persevere, O Muhammad, because you are under our eyes. You know, Yadullah fawqa aydihim, the hand of Allah is on their hands. So again, this is considered to be of the mutashabih of the Quran, ambiguous. A hand, like my hand, hasha lillah. Laysa kamithlihi shay'un. Here again, muhkam mutashabih. Laysa kamithlihi shay'un. Nothing can like be likened unto him. That is muhkam, clear cut. Nothing in creation can be likened unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كُلُّ مَا يَخْطُرُ فِي بَالِكَ فَاللَّهُ لَيْسَ كَذَلِكَ. Everything that comes into your mind as to how Allah exists, Allah is unlike that. So that is muhkam, that is clear cut. يَدُ اللَّهُ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ. The hand of Allah is on their hands. أَهْلِ سُنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ نُثْبِتْ لِلَّهِ مَا أَثْبَتَ لِنَفْسِ. We attribute to Allah what is attributed to himself. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he has a hand, then we believe he has a hand. But unlike any hand, We don't try and imagine his hand. Like, we don't anthropomorphize God as Michelangelo attempted to do on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. Ma'ad Allah. We don't do anthropomorphosis in Islam. We can never ever visualize or imagine or even comprehend how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists. That's why I said Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, what did he say? He said, Al-ajzu an idraki idraku. The inability to comprehend Allah's reality is to comprehend Him. Wal-bahthu fi dhati Allahi kufrun wa ishraku. And to delve into how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists is indeed disbelief and association of partners in the worship of Allah. Because that is what it will lead a person to. Wal-a'iyadu billah. Mercy be to the person that understands the limitations and stops at them. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Beautiful. Beautiful. That's why it's called aql, from iqal. You know, iqal? Iqal is the thing that the Arabs, the Bedouins, they used to use to tie their camels. Now, likewise, our aql, you know, we must use it to tie, to limit ourselves in terms of our ability to understand. We're not duty bound to understand everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us aql in order to perceive His creation and perceive Him as the creator. فَوَعَجَبًا كَيْفَ يُؤْصَى الْإِلَهُ أَمْ يَجْحَدَهُ الْجَاحِدُ وَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَهُ آيَةٌ تَدُلُّ عَلَى أَنَّهُ وَاحِدٌ. Says the poet, says, I think I mentioned this the other week, that the poet says, how amazing it is. How can anybody disobey Allah? How can anybody disbelieve in Allah when in everything there is a sign that points to the existence of Allah? That's enough. So we have the aql. You know, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ. We shall show them our signs on the horizons, وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ, and within themselves. حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. Until it becomes clear to them that it is the truth. You know, so we have aql to look at the creation of Allah, and through that, in order to establish firmly in our hearts our belief, our certain belief in the existence of Allah. But we're not supposed to try and imagine how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists, how Allah looks. No, we don't. We don't even know how He exists, how we're going to ever understand how He looks, what is His essence, Jalla fi'ala. So, laysa kamithli shay, nothing can be likened unto Him. So when it comes to reading verses in the Quran pertaining to these ambiguous attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His eyes, His hand, etc., etc., then Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah very clearly says we attribute to Allah when He's attributed to Himself, but we surrender the reality of that attribute, we surrender it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't know. You know, بلا كيف ولا تشبيه, without any how, without any example, without any likeness to anyone or anything in creation. So, therefore, with regards to interpretation of such verses regarding those attributes of Allah Subhanahu, those particular attributes of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, nobody knows the reality thereof except Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. But the meaning, and this is, again, not a debate that we are going to go into now, a debate that's been going amongst the ulama for many centuries now, and that is allegorical meaning. And I'm not going to get into, you know, the position in support of or against of allegorical meaning. But at the end of the day, it is a position that we respect of the ulama. So for example, yadallahu fawqa aydihim, they would say, yes, we attribute to Allah that which is attributed to Himself, but at the same time, and the Sahaba understood when they were putting their hands into the hands of the Prophet to take the pledge of allegiance, they were making a pledge of allegiance with Allah. And a hand has the quality of qudra, of power. You know, wa ayyadanahu. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we strengthened him bi ruh al-Qudus, with the Holy Spirit. And we're speaking about who's the Holy Spirit in Islam? It's Jibreel alayhi salam. Jibreel, ruh al-Qudus. And we assisted him and we aided him with the Holy Spirit, with Jibreel alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking about Nabi Isa in the Holy Quran. Ayyada, where the word yad comes from, ayyada, which means to strengthen, qudra, power. So let's put that aside. But the bottom line is that when it comes to the reality of that sifa, of that attribute, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. But when it comes to understanding it in terms of its context, who do we turn to? وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. We turn to those who are firmly established in knowledge. That's why we have so many books of tafsir. We have the ulama that have mastered all these sciences. Remember, I spoke about those 15 sciences, 14 sciences, and the 15th science, the author of that book, At-Tafsir wal-Mufassirun, he says, عِلْمُ الْمَوْهِبَةِ. What is ilmul mawhiba? It is knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala, ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Be mindful of Allah and Allah will teach you. You know that ilham, that guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person is mindful of Allah, when a person, you know, takes with the asbab, with the causes, masters all those 14 sciences, and is very conscious and mindful of Allah, very pious, they lower their gazes. You know, Imam Shafi was walking in, a woman walked past and her abaya blew and he just saw her ankle and he was afraid that his memory would have been wiped out. And he went to his teacher Waqi' and he said, in a poem, he said, Shakotu ila Waqi'in suwa hifdi fa'arshadani ila tarkil ma'asi waqala bi anna la'ilm nurun wa nurullah la yuhda li'asi. He said, I complained to Waqi' about the weakness of my memory. And fa'arshadani ila tarkil ma'asi, and he advise me to leave disobedience to Allah. And he said that knowledge is light, and the light of Allah is not given to the one who is disobedient. So that's why, in terms of understanding the Quran, that which is unclear in the Quran especially, we turn to those who are firmly established in knowledge. وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلَمِ يَقُولُونَ. And what do they say? آمَنَّا بِهِ. They say, we believe in it. You know, even those who are firmly established in knowledge, even those aspects of tafsir, like for example, the reality of the hand of Allah, or the reality of the eyes of Allah, which nobody can ever know, they say, we believe in it. كُلُّ مِنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا نُثْبِتْ لِلَّهِ مَا أَثْبَتَ لِنَفْسِي. We attribute to Allah that which is attributed to Himself, بِلَا كَيْفِيَّ وَلَا تَشْبِيهِ, without any how, without any likeness to anyone or anything in the heavens and on earth. آمَنَّا بِهِ. Comes from Allah, we believe in it, we accept it. كُلُّ مِنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا. Everything comes from our Lord. In this book, everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا يَذَّكَّرُ إِلَّا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. And they do not take admonishment except أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ, those who reflect. أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Al-bab is the plural of lub, which is the core. Like the core of an apple. How do you get to the core? You have to peel away the exterior. And so the ulama, those that have mastered all those sciences, sciences of the Arabic language, sciences of, you know, asbab al-nuzul, where every, like Sidna Abdullah Mas'udi said, ما نزل آية من كتاب الله إلا وأنا أعلم أين ما نزلت وفيما نزلت. He said, there's not a single verse that was revealed of the Quran, except that I know where it was revealed and for what purpose or for what context it was revealed. It's Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And Abdullah ibn Abbas, the Prophet made dua of him, Allahumma faqihu fi al-deen wa alimhu al-ta'wil. Oh Allah, give him understanding of the religion and teach him the interpretation of the Quran, the correct interpretation. And that's why when we read the books of tafsir, these are the two main scholars from amongst the Sahaba that were the greatest of the mufassirin from amongst the Sahaba, radiallahu tabarak wa ta'ala anhum, ajma'in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with all the illustrious companions of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we go on to verse number 8. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَابُ. Oh Allah, oh Lord. This is now the رَاسِخُونَ فِي الْعَلَمِ. Those firmly established in knowledge. First they say, you know, whatever we're reading here, you know, we believe. كُلُّ مِنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا. And that surrender, even something that cannot be understood. Yes, there are certain, like Ibn Abbas, he says there are four types of tafsir. Tafsir arba'a. Tafsirun la ya'lamuhu illa Allah. Tafsir which only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Like the reality of those certain attributes. Or even like, for example, the true meaning of the broken letters. We know the purpose of the broken letters is from the A'jaz al-'ilmi fil Quran. It is one of the It is one of the parts of the miracle of the Quran, the miraculous nature of the Quran, that the Quran was challenging the disbelieving Quraysh. Alif, Lam, meaning here are the letters of your Arabic alphabet, produce the like thereof. Produce the Quran the like thereof. Produce 10 chapters the like thereof. Produce one chapter the like thereof. It's all three we find in the Quran. But the true meaning of what does Alif stand for? What does Lam stand for? What does Mim stand for? La ya'lamuhu illallah. Only Allah Ta'ala knows. The purpose we know was a challenge to the Kuffar Quraysh to produce the Quran. And if you're not able to, you'll never be able to. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala at the end, you know, when he says, even one chapter, like Surah Al-Kawthar, three verses, you'll never ever be able to produce the like thereof. But the real meaning of what is Taha, what is Yasin, what is Alif Lam Ra, what is Alif Lam Mim, only Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala knows. So Ibn Abbas says there are four types of tafsir, tafsir which only Allah knows, tafsirun يَعْلَمُهُ الرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعَلَمِ التَّفْسِيرُ which those firmly established, like in this verse in Surah Ali Imran, those are firmly established in knowledge. وَالتَّفْسِيرُ تَعْلَمُهُ الْعَرَبُ مِنْ لُغَتِهَا a tafsir which the Arabs know because it's been revealed in their language. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعَقِلُونَ we've revealed it as an Arabic Quran that you might make sense of it. وَالتَّفْسِيرُ لَا يُعْذَرُ أَحَدٌ بِجَهَالَتِهِ and a tafsir which nobody has an excuse of not knowing. Like for example, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ nobody has any excuse for not knowing what that means. You know, say he is Allah the one and only. There's no ambiguity in that clear cut. Subhanallah. So, even for those things which the rasikhuna fil ilm, those who are firmly established in knowledge, like for example, the first category, tafsir which only Allah knows, they wouldn't know them, but they believe in it. They believe this verse, they accept it. They say, Aman Nabi. We believe in it. Kullu min indi Rabbina. It all comes from Allah. Nuthbit lillahi ma'athbata li nafsi. We attribute to Allah what is attributed to Himself, Jalla fi'una. Then they say, Rabbana, la tuzigh qulubana. Oh, our Lord, do not cause our hearts to go astray. We mentioned earlier the word zayigh. Zayigh, corruption. Corruption. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ As for those who have corruption in their hearts. As for those who have deviance. In actual fact, زَيْغ is actually deviance, to deviate from the path. As for those who have deviance in their hearts, they follow that which is, you know, suits their whims and their fancies, their lusts and desires. From the incorrect interpretation that they have thumb-sucked. So in verse number eight, those ulama, those firmly established in knowledge, they say, oh Allah, don't allow our hearts to deviate. بعد إذ هديتنا, after you've guided them right. وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً and help us with your mercy. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَابِ indeed, you are the only helper. الْوَهَابِ meaning the helper, the one and only true helper. There is no help without the help of Allah. Even somebody that assists you, you know, in the street, or somebody in the home who might give you a hand or do something for you, wallahi, nobody can do anything for you except by the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Huwa al-wahhab jalla fi'ula. He is the helper, the one and only. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma innaka antal. So we've given this verse number eight, we've given it some context now, looking at verse number seven. And in context, in the context of the verse, who is making this dua? It is those firmly established in knowledge. الراسخون في العلم. And those who are firmly established in knowledge, they are supposed to be the most mindful, the most pious, and the closest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation after the Anbiya wal Mursaleen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بعد عوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء. That those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most out of His servants are those who have been endowed with knowledge. But yet they are saying, oh Allah, don't cause our hearts to deviate after you have guided them right. So the hearts can deviate? Actual fact, when we look in the tafsir of this very verse, it was Umm Salama that wanted to know from our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when our beloved Prophet used to make that dua, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik, O turner of the hearts, make my heart firm on your deen. Make my heart firm on your deen. And qallaba yuqallibu, this is, you know, turning, fluctuating. And in fact, this is where the meaning of the word qalb comes from, the heart, the heart. مَا سُمِّيَ الْقَلْبُ إِلَّا مِنْ تَقَلُّبِهِ فَحْذَرْ عَلَى الْقَلْبِ مِنْ قَلْبٍ وَتَحْوِيلِ Allah, Allah save us. Allah save us. Never be too sure of yourself, Jamaat al-Muslim. I start with myself. Riyad, never be too sure of yourself, brother. Never be too sure of yourself. This heart, Allah can change just like that. Just like that. In fact, the heart is moving. What did the Chris Barnard say? Dr. Chris Barnard, he who performed the first heart transplant in the world, they asked him, what is the heart? He said, the heart is a pump. It's pumping. It's turning. But you know, the spiritual nature of the heart is exactly the same. It has that potential for change, that potential for turning, the potential for deviating. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ وَسِيكْ رَفِيجَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. So the poet says, مَا سُمِّيَ الْقَلْبُ إِلَّا مِنْ تَقَلُّبِهِ. The qalb has not been named the qalb except for the fact that it makes taqallub. Now, if we say in Arabic, the car turned over in the accident. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from all accidents and from all the calamities of this life and the punishment of the hereafter. Ameen. We say in Arabic, انقلبت السيارة. انقلبت. The car turned over in the accident. And so this word qalb, by the semantic nature of the word itself, it is that which has the potential for fluctuation and for turning. وَسُمِّيَ الْقَلْبُ إِلَّا مِنْ تَقَلُّبِهِ فَحْذَرْ عَلَى الْقَلْبِ مِنْ قَلْبٍ وَتَحْوِيلٍ. So beware that your heart does not turn or change. So beware that your heart does not turn or change. And so Umm Salama, she says, the Prophet always used to make the dua, O turner of the hearts, make my heart firm on your religion. And then he read this verse, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا. Oh Allah, don't cause our hearts to deviate. بَعْدِ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. After you've guided them right, وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. And help us with your mercy. Indeed, you are the helper. But we need to understand something. Allah doesn't turn the heart of a person or cause the heart of a person to deviate if that person wants to be guided. So remember, this is qa'idatun thabitatun min sunanillah. This is one of the fundamental laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in this universe. You know, whatever we are, I made the example the other day, it's like a computer program. This universe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the programmer. You know, He's the creator of the hardware and the software. Allahu Akbar. And all Allah has given us is an interface and a keyboard. And whatever we enter into that system, whatever we enter into that computer program of this universe, that is what we will get out. كَمَا تَدِينُ تُدَانُ. What you do will be done unto you. What goes around comes around. من حصد من زرع حصد. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. So if a person wants to follow righteous guidance and they make effort in following righteous guidance, Allah will guide them. But if a person wants to deviate, then Allah will deviate them. Simple as that. وَالَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا زَادَهُمْ هُدَى وَآتَاهُمْ تَقْوَاهُمْ. And as for those who follow righteous guidance, Allah will guide them. Allah will carry them on that path of ihdina surat al-mustaqim. That's why we're asking 17 times a day in Surat al-Fatiha, 17 obligatory units of prayer in a day and a night. Oh Allah, guide us, the literal interpretation, and you'll often hear the literal translation, oh Allah, guide us to the straight path. But in reality, it is, oh Allah, keep us on the straight path, because you're making salah, so you're on the straight path. Oh Allah, keep us on the straight path, keep us in faith. keep us on ثبت قلبي على دينك. Oh Allah, make our hearts steadfast. In fact, I was reading a hadith the other day. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, one Sahabi was reading behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Afwan, was reading behind Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in Salat al-Maghrib, and he read two short surahs in the first two raka'at, and in the third raka'ah, he said, "Danawtu minhu," I drew nearer to him so that my thobe was touching his thobe. And I heard him read Surah Al-Fatiha, and then afterwards I heard him read, "Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma innaka antal wahhab." Oh Allah, don't cause our hearts to deviate. In Fatiha we're saying, "Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim." Oh Allah, keep us on the straight path. Oh Allah, keep us on the straight path. Oh Allah, keep us on... We are believers today. We don't know what we're going to be tomorrow. How many people are failing the test? I'm not just speaking about the test of coronavirus, but you know, this is, Allah save us. You know, if you read in the Quran and you read in the hadith of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, this sign of corona, it is but a small sign in comparison, that if we don't take note of the other things that could still come. Wal'ayyadu billah. Allahumma astur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, save us and guide us, protect us and shield us. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. And so Ummu Salama says that our beloved Prophet, when he used to make that dua, Allah turn of the hearts, make my heart steadfast in your religion, he then used to recite that dua from that verse number 8 of Surah Ali Imran. And so in the one riwaya, she asked him, she said, وَإِنَّ الْقَلْبَ لَيَتَقَلَّبْ. The heart, can it turn? Can it change? She asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, قَالَ نَعَمْ. He said, yes. مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمْ مِنْ بَشَرٍ إِلَّا أَنَّ قَلْبَهُ بَيْنَ أُسْبُعَيْنِ مِنْ أَصَابِي اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ فَإِنْ شَاءَ أَقَامَهُ وَإِنْ شَاءَ أَزَاغَهُ. That he said, yes, indeed. No human being has been created except that their hearts are between the two fingers of Allah. If he so wishes, he can keep that heart steadfast, and if he so wishes, he can deviate that heart. And that's all depending on the person of that heart, what path they want to follow. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Whoever wants to believe, they will believe. And whoever wants to disbelieve, they will disbelieve. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created within us, the ability to either obey or disobey, believe or disbelieve. So whoever wants to believe, they will believe. And whoever wants to disbelieve, they'll disbelieve. Whoever wants to obey, they will obey. Whoever wants to disobey, they will disobey. Whoever wants to follow righteous guidance, they will follow it. And Allah will keep them on it. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, Alif Lam Mim, Dhalika Al-Kitabu La Rayba Fi, Hudan Lil-Muttaqin. Until the end of that section, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. They are on a guidance from their Lord. This is what we call Hidayatul Ma'una. We have Hidayatul Dilala. The messengers have been sent with Hidayatul Dilala to show us the guidance of showing. They show us the path. And then if we follow that path, then we get Hidayatul Ma'una, which is the guidance of helping us on the path. So if we choose to follow the path, Hidayatul Dilala, after being shown the path, then Hidayatul Ma'una, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala literally guides us and carries us on that path as long as we want to be on that path. As long as we want to follow righteous guidance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide us on that path. Ulaika ala hudam min rabbihim. They are on a guidance. It's almost like, if you imagine like a ship, you know, the ship of guidance. Safinatul Najat, the ship of salvation. Call it Safinatul Hidayatul Ma'una. You know, the ship of guidance from Allah. You know, like in the beginning of Riyadh al-Salihin, Al-Imam al-Nawawi, he quotes some abiyat, beautiful words of poetry. He says, "Inna lillahi ibadan futana, talaqu ad-dunya wa khafu al-fitana, nadharu fiha, falamma alimu annaha laysat lihayyin watana, ja'aluha lujjatan, wattakhadhu as-salih al-a'mali fiha sufuna." It is indeed for Allah, they are some wise servants. They've divorced themselves from this world, and they have feared the trials and tribulations therein. When they looked at this world and they realized that this world is no permanent place for them. They're just passing through. This is Darul Mamar. The Akhir is Darul Maqar. The hereafter, that is the place of settlement, not the place. The dunya, we're just passing through. So he says, when they looked at the world and they realized that there's no settlement for them in this world, they turned the whole world into their, from their perspective, they turned the whole world into a deep ocean. And they used their good deeds as the ship that was going to take them safely across the ocean. So, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. Those that choose to do those good deeds, they will be on a guidance from their Lord. If you can imagine, like the ship of guidance that will take them. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And they alone are the successful ones. That guidance, as long as they want to do those righteous deeds, have true faith and do righteous deeds, follow righteous guidance, then Allah will keep them on that ship of guidance and take them safely across the stormy ocean of this world until they end up eventually, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, in the Jannah in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make our hearts deviate. You know, Jumaat al-Muslimin, I would like to share a hadith with you before we end off. عن المقداد بن الأسود قال لا أقول في أحد خيرا ولا شرا حتى أنظر ما يختم به عمله بعد شيء سمعته من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لقلب بن آدم أشد انقلابا من القدر إذا اجتمعت غليا. مقدار المؤسود, he said, I do not speak any good or bad about anyone. Listen to this, Allahu Akbar. He says, I don't speak good or bad about anyone until I have seen on what action his life was ended. In other words, you know, sometimes you say, oh, that's a pious guy, that guy's going straight to jail. Oh, that's a wretched guy, he's going to jail. Wallahi, nobody knows. Nobody knows. He says, I do not speak any good or bad about anyone until I have seen on what action his life was ended. After I heard the Messenger of Allah say something, it was said to them, what did you hear from the Messenger of Allah? He said, I heard the Messenger of Allah say, the heart of mankind is more unstable than a pot when it is boiling. The heart is more unstable than a pot when it is boiling. If you imagine a pot, filled with water boiling on the stove, you know. I sometimes look like the pot's gonna, you know, flip over anytime. Must turn down the gas or turn down the heat, by the way, so it doesn't harm anybody. But this is the metaphor he's using. This is how unstable the heart is. And Abi Musa al-Ash'ari qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مثل القلب كريشة بأرض فلات تقلبها الرياح ظهرا لبطن. The Messenger of Allah said, the likeness of this heart is like a feather in an open space being turned about upside down by the prevailing winds. A feather, you know, go out there onto the field on a windy day, and when the southeast is blowing here in Cape Town, and throw up that feather and see what the wind does to that feather. That is the likeness of the heart, the potential for deviation. Doesn't matter who you are. Remember, who's making this dua? That's what I wanted to give the context to the ayah. It's the most learned, most pious of people that are making this dua in this verse. Ar-rasikhuna fil ilm, those firmly established in knowledge. You know, what about us? You know, ordinary people. You know, how much more potential there is for deviation in our hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guide us. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala deenik. Oh Allah, turner of the hearts, make our hearts steadfast on your deen, ya Allah. Ya Allah, cause us never to deviate from the sirat al-mustaqim, ya Allah. Cause us always to follow your righteous guidance and the righteous guidance of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya Rabbil Alameen. So, Jumaat al-Muslimin, that brings us to the end of today's Jumu'ah Mubarak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala return us to his houses. I know some of the masajid are open. Others have chosen to stay closed. We are actually hitting a peak now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant shifa to all the sick. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give jannah to all our deceased. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us and guide us and protect us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not take us from this world. Allahumma la taqbid أرواحنا إلا وأنت راض عنا. Oh Allah, don't take our souls, Ya Allah, unless you are pleased with us, Ya Allah. Keep us on your straight path. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين. وحسن أولئك رفيقا ذلك الفضل من الله وكفى بالله عليما. Ya Allah, cause us to stand up on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah under the flag of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with that heart that is sound and pure. Remember, this is the only thing that is going to have any value on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah is the condition of this heart. Condition of this heart. يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. The day when wealth and children will be of no benefit to anybody except for the one that comes to Allah with a clean and pure heart. We have to keep it clean. We have to protect it with the shield of taqwa. Keep all those evil invitations and temptations at bay. Follow righteous guidance. Listen to the heart. The Prophet said, استفتي قلبك, consult your heart. We have an alarm system built into this heart. Every time we want to sin, every time we want to follow misguidance instead of righteous guidance, this heart goes off like an alarm. It shakes in our breasts, in our chests. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم والإثم ما حاك في صدرك وكرهت أن يطلع عليه الناس. He said, and sin is that which makes the heart uneasy and that which you wouldn't like other people to know about. احذر احذر الخلوات. Be careful of being alone. Be careful of being alone. Be careful of being idle and alone. Now they say that an idle mind is the devil's workshop. You know. Likewise in Islam, we must be careful of al-khalawat when we're alone. You know, and that al-waswas al-khannas. Remember, we spoke about him a few weeks ago. That qareen that has been assigned to us, to whisper to us, to invite us, to tempt us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause us to be steadfast. And فَالَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا زَادَهُمْ هُدَى وَآتَاهُمْ تَقَوَاهُمْ. Look at that. Those who follow righteous guidance. Because you want to be on the straight path of Allah. And they follow, they don't compromise. You know, when it comes to halal and haram, and they want to follow the straight path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide them on that path. وَآتَاهُمْ تَقْوَاهُمْ. And Allah will give them the shield to stay on that path, to keep those evil invitations and temptations at bay, so that we might stand up on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah with that sound and pure heart and drink from min yadihi sharifa, from the honorable, noble hand of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, shurbatan la nadhma'u ba'daha abada, a drink from which after we'll never experience thirst ever again in our lives, and then be entered with him. And the anbiya and the shuhada and siddiqeen wa saliheen to be entered fi jannatin na'im. I leave you under the protection of Allah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.